I still remember my mother telling my brothers and me to wash your hands before coming to the table for a meal. And she would reinforce her advice with a little religious guilt. Boys, remember that cleanliness is next to godliness. Of course, we were usually too hungry to bother to wash our hands. We're sure that just a little bit of dirt wasn't going to hurt us. Besides, even more, we wanted to kind of, push back against our mother. We were always, testing her authority and asserting our independence. And the older we got, the more we wanted to have the last word on what was right and wrong. In today's gospel, Jesus' disciples are criticized for similar behavior. The Pharisees and scribes took their religion seriously. They believed that their religion should affect every detail of their lives. They were experts on how the law of God should govern even the simplest details of ordinary life. Even details like washing your hands before you eat. Washing your hands before you eat was not only good hygiene, even more, it was a way to recognize that all of life belonged to God. And if you are going to honor God and be a part of the Jewish community, then you needed to follow the rules, the tradition of the elders. You needed to wash your hands before eating because, yes, cleanliness is next to godliness. And then comes Jesus, who seems to care less about keeping the rules and following the tradition of the elders. Jesus, heals on the Sabbath. And in the name of God, he hangs out with rule breakers like tax collectors and thieves and women of the evening. His disciples engage in the same kind of unruly behavior as today's gospel reports that Jesus' disciples were eating with defiled hands. They were not properly washing their hands before dinner. And not only was such behavior unsafe, it was disrespectful of the very thing which defined them as God's people, the law. They were deliberately thumbing their noses at the idea that cleanliness was next to godliness. Now today we might find such concerns silly. This obsession with what is clean and unclean, defiled and undefiled. I mean, isn't that irrelevant in our modern world? But is it? For example, the current debate raging in our country about immigration is really about the rules. What are the rules and boundaries that will define our nation? Without boundaries, without the rules, I mean, we don't know who belongs and who does not. But where we draw those boundaries, what are the rules going to be? That is what divides us. Some of you football fans, the NFL season is about ready to begin next week. And the league and the players still cannot agree on rules for protesting during the national anthem. It's important to make rules. Rules that people are going to follow. For without the rules, the league disintegrates. No wonder the Pharisees and the scribes are disturbed. No wonder they ask, Jesus, why do you and your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders and eat with defiled hands? For Jesus and his disciples' behavior threatened the very boundaries of their community and the very center of their religious faith. Jesus Did not worry about being politically correct or tolerant or polite. Jesus, you might say, is a sworn enemy of lying, pomposity, smugness, and groupthink. He swings the wrecking ball. He unloads both barrels. The Pharisees and the scribes may have appeared to have been paragons of virtue, and they were admired for their knowledge of the law and their commitment to live it. They not only talk the talk, I mean, these guys, they walk the walk. Yet, Jesus calls them hypocrites. They are not what they appear to be. Oh, they may have been awarded the Sagamore of the Wabash or the Citizen of the Year, but Jesus says that it's all a sham. It's all a cover-up. Because hiding beneath all the rules and the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles and pans is a dirty heart. Jesus turns the apple cart upside down and inside out. We are very impressed with religion that we can see, measure, and count. I mean, churches today all think they are successful when they put, how do we say, that when they put butts in the pew and bucks in the plate. We ask one another, well, how many people do you worship on Sunday? Forgetting that we worship God, not people in the pew. We welcome people who are like us and only bother to talk with those who share our interests and are upset and complain with change. I mean, we never did it this way before. And we fiddle while Rome burns, and we shuffle the deck chairs on the Titanic, and we whistle Dixie while the ground crumbles beneath us, and we cover the rust with a new coat of paint and slap wallpaper over the cracks and delude ourselves into thinking that all is well. Like a fire alarm waking us up in the middle of the night, Jesus says, listen to me, all of you, and understand this. There is nothing outside of a person that by going in can defile. But the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, in the human heart, that evil intentions come. Oh, but then there is the fool that boasts, I am not proud, for pride is a fault, and I have no faults. And he exposes the very pride that he thinks he can hide. Jesus blows up such pretense and rejects such religion. No wonder the early Christians were accused of being atheists. And in a sense, they were atheists. All the religions of that world, the Roman world, including the religion of the scribes and the Pharisees, they're all based on the if-then conviction. If I only work hard enough, try hard enough, pray enough, give enough, love enough, am clean enough, wash my hands enough, oh, then God will smile. Then we can be sure. Then I know I can belong. Then I know I'm in. And Jesus will have nothing to do with religion like that. Religion like that is from a heart that trusts itself more than it trusts God. All of those religious programs designed to help us to check off the steps and grow closer to God still basically leave us in charge. We still want to know, Pastor, just tell me what to do. We still are frustrated because we never know when we've done enough. No one talks like Jesus. No one so completely rejects our attempts to be good. If religion promotes the belief that cleanliness gets us closer to godliness, then Jesus is against religion. Jesus is against that kind of cleanliness. So what if our hands are clean? We still have hearts that are determined to remain in charge and be and play God. And no 12-step program, no behavior modification, no educational strategy or psychological therapy is going to change the human heart. Oh, my brothers and I may have given in and washed our hands for our mother, but it was not because we really loved God and loved our mother. I mean, we resented. We resisted all the way. We conformed. We obeyed because we were hungry and wanted to eat. But in our hearts, we were the same old selfish kids looking out for ourselves. Now, this is a bleak picture. I sort of felt kind of funny at the end of today's gospel reading, saying the gospel of the Lord. Is there any good news here? Because in today's gospel, we do not meet the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. We meet Jesus, the fiery prophet, the scathing truth teller, the no-nonsense, honest-to-God master who will not put up with pretense and hypocrisy. Here we meet the sworn enemy of lying, pomposity, smugness, and groupthink. The Pharisees, the scribes, all of us, well-meaning, good-intentioned, God-fearing, religious people, want to know, finally, Jesus, what gives you the right to do this? Jesus, who do you think you are? Disregarding the rules like this, letting your disciples eat without washing their hands, welcoming people whose lives are a mess and cannot get their act together and turn on good people like us who try so hard. I mean, who do you think you are? God or something? Of course, that is exactly who Jesus claims to be. And that is why we, along with the Pharisees and the scribes of this world, crucified him. Jesus, frankly, deserved to die for daring to thumb his nose at our religion and our attempts to be good. The human heart cannot possibly be that evil. The human plight cannot possibly be that hopeless. And sin cannot possibly be that bad. So we got rid of Jesus. And he died on the cross as an outsider, a sinner, who didn't keep the rules. And when he died, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Romans and all the good religious people of this world breathed a sigh of relief. See? Jesus was wrong. We were right. And then the third day came, and Jesus rose from the dead. And no wonder so many were afraid. He really was God. Oh my, we are in trouble. What will we do? We're going to have to pay for this. The cleanliness that we thought was next to godliness is actually defiled and dirty. The religion that we thought was blessed is actually cursed. And just when we are ready to throw up our hands in despair, we see the strangely wonderful twist that Jesus brings to all of this. It is as though such dying is living. Because Jesus is risen, yes, Jesus is right. And that is, yes, good news for sinners like us who have been hiding our wicked, hypocritical hearts beneath those cleanly washed hands. I mean, caught, so to speak, with our pants down, exposed for not being what we pretended to be. We can tell the truth. Stop working so hard to cover up the lie. We can let go of the pretense, our clean hands, our clean houses, our clean records, that we're only a thin coat of paint over rust and decay, and instead cling to Jesus, which is exactly what we did when we began the service of today in the rite of confession and forgiveness. Jesus forgives us and frees us from always having to be what we are not. We do not have to try to be good. We do not have to worry about following the rules and keeping our hands clean. In fact, we are free to get our hands dirty, helping and serving others in our families, in our neighborhoods, in the places of our daily work, all of those things that are described so eloquently by the letter to James, which we're going to be hearing all of this next month. Is cleanliness next to godliness? Yes. If Christ is our cleanliness, oh, then we are godly. Then we can get our hands dirty serving those in need. And who cares what the rest of the world thinks? We know what God thinks. And that is all that matters. Amen.